From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in young and urgent Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Lydia Simchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And we're the course, and we too make nice games. For this week's episode, it's another nice game jam. We've just been given a prompt, and we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of the episode. Will it work? We and you are about to find out. And so if everyone is ready, let's start.
Woo!
Yay!
Woo! All right.
Welcome back, Courts. Welcome back.
Glad to be here again.
Yeah.
Always happy.
Now, we've done a game jam once before. For our 302nd-ish episode.
Something like that.
And that one was a fun one. I remember it being like we were building roads.
Yeah.
Pothole themed.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
That does sound fun.
Listeners will recognize that Mark is not on this episode. It's pretty crowded in the clubhouse because we have five people, including Gabe over here. Hello, Gabe.
You can say hi. No.
Gabe is waving.
Feeling shy.
You guys
are
starting without me?
Sorry, Mark.
All right, fine. I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye. Well, never fear. We do get a little bit of Mark participation.
Yes.
We gave him a trophy. And in return, he's giving us a prompt.
So
Dale approved prompt. Don't Dale worry. Approved. It's also her participation as well.
Yes. I guess without further ado, I could just start reading the prompt.
Yeah.
The prompt is, create a game where you need to follow around a person or a thing that is breaking stuff. You got to fix it.
Wow. Story of my life, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like this is the game Cat Lateral Damage, but if you were the human that the cat owned, like the cat owned.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Okay, fascinating. Well, if you're following the I guess it's a cat. We're going to say it's a cat.
It could be a cat. It could also be a toddler.
Be a toddler.
I also have heard that essentially Charizard is a toddler on fire, so it could be a Charizard.
Okay.
Dogs, like a nice big dog with a big tail that just doesn't know that it has a big tail and just keeps whapping things cuz it's excited.
Yeah.
We got a bull in China shop is a situation. We have a lot of things that cause destruction.
Right.
The question is what?
The size of the destruction is relevant. Maybe that's like a difficulty level. Like if it's a bull, it's harder or something. I don't know.
I mean, I can see you just moving from different sizes of children, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The type and destruction that a toddler does is different from, you know, when you start getting 6, 7, 8.
And eventually it's a teenager and they've hacked your computer.
Right.
And you have to fix it.
Because a teenager will destroy stuff and hide it.
Ooh.
Right.
But a toddler doesn't.
Okay,
so.
That's fun. I like that idea a lot, actually.
You start to see it early on where they like age 7, where they destroy it and then they hide it, but they don't hide it very well.
Right. No one's convinced by their lies.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at hiding stuff. So.
You are?
Are you?
Oh, so you can help us with the level design then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Child causes destruction. You have to clean it.
Are we going with a chronology where this is the same child and we are following them through life? Or are these different individual children? So like we have the toddler level.
I just had an idea.
What?
Uh-huh.
So it's you follow the same child through life until they are an adult and then they are taking care of the parent and fixing their crap.
Oh, I love the switch. Yes.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's good.
Could you just imagine though, like the level starts like a normal level and then all of a sudden like the perspective switches and it's time to be the kid.
Yeah.
Time to be the fixer.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it really tells you a whole journey, especially if you're right, you're in the family home throughout the entire game and, and you can do the environmental storytelling. You can see how the home is changing over time, how the things that you fixed are, you know, evolving.
Yeah. Or like a repurpose. So like I broke a really nice coffee mug and so I use it as a pencil cup now. Because you can't.
Yeah.
You can't use super glue with hot liquids. Mm-hmm. So then you can have some of the older things, how they've either fixed it to use or fixed it and repurposed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang, cool. I mean, I'm a big sucker for environmental storytelling. So
yes. Yeah. Same.
Okay. No, and that works perfectly because, like, you would be the one telling the story. Well, and the game will, I guess, it's a collaborative effort. But, like, you'll see it as it happens, which is neat.
So as certified card-carrying parents, what are the thresholds of age that we're looking at here? Because, like, once baby can locomote and grab, that's a different thing. Then toddler can run. But then you start getting also into, like, understanding of, like, self-consciousness and morality and getting into trouble.
So the hiding would have to start
when you're about 6 and you can climb up covers.
That's a good
one. I was going to say about 5 or 6,
Okay. That's when I started doing stuff like that.
Oh, okay. And then we'll have to figure out, like, the hiding places will have to change as the kid gets taller, because they can climb higher and higher or just, like, get up and down quicker.
Or they realize that hiding things in cupboards isn't the only place you can hide things.
True.
Yep.
Okay. I'm sure Gabe has learned that lesson by now.
Many times.
Many times. Oh, that's fun.
I don't really hide stuff, like, against my parents. I hide stuff from my friends, kind of.
Yeah.
Want to steal my candy or something.
Yeah, Gabe's a pretty good kid, so we'll have to expand our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Use Gabe as a starting point.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Gabe breaks a lot of stuff these days.
Not anymore.
Nope.
But he did, so we can use that as an example.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the examples should be, like, accidental, but then trying to hide it. Because that's the thing is, like, you know it's bad, but you don't know what to do about it. And brain just goes, hide. Just hide it, and
nobody saw it.
Which is, like, not the right thing to do, but it's a very natural reaction
as
a kid.
Yeah. I wonder how you, I'm trying to think of, like, how you actively, like, play this game. Is this a board game? Is this a video game?
Yeah.
And making a design document.
I think, like, 2D side scroller for some reason, but maybe point and click. My brain a little bit goes to, like, Kukiyomi or Mom Hid My Nintendo kind of style. But, like, I don't know. I'm not married to that. That's just the first thing that came up.
Yeah. In my brain, I picture Goose Game.
Yeah, my point of reference is Goose Game.
Oh, fascinating. This is like reverse Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Basically.
Okay. Or the baby, the baby game.
Oh,
what's the name of that?
The
baby's trying to kill himself. You're trying to keep the baby out of the oven and stuff
like
that.
What is that called? Is that just the
Don't Kill the Baby?
I don't know. That is a game though, right?
Yeah.
Keep calm and baby doesn't explode?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's also in the same space as Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have a concept for a game that's doing in my head. Let me run this by y'all. So, you got a baby. Mm-hmm. And you have to work remotely, so you got to be at your computer and, like, do random tasks.
Oh,
but also, the kid is running around doing stuff because you can't watch the kid and do work at the same time. Because I guess you're a single parent. I don't know.
I mean, you could also just be, like, the parent who works from home, so you're on day shift.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a better way of framing it. And so you have to manage your work while also making sure to fix whatever the baby gets on, because the other parent will come back and want the house to be nice.
And and grade you. That's how you get your
own. This sounds like a healthy relationship.
It doesn't have to be a healthy relationship. It's fine.
The best games are unhealthy relationships. Let's be real.
So, I don't know. We can maybe spin it so that it's not as
I think we can negative, spin it but... as, like, the more time that they have to fix the things when they get home, the less the other chores and stuff get done. And so, like, overall, you're just like, wow, our house is, like, our house is not being taken care of properly. We feel bummed out. And that's the kind of quality of life grade.
More dangers. So more things that the kids can get into
if
you don't clean it up. So like if the dishes don't get washed, they can break those or whatever. Mm. Like, you know.
Yeah, okay. That's
good. I like that idea.
That's
we need to make sure that it is like we don't end up stacking it up against the player in a bad positive feedback loop. That we have enough ways that also you can you can mitigate the risks quickly enough that doesn't end up just like, you know, day one you're behind and then you're kind of just off to a bad start.
Yeah,
unless that's the feel you're going for.
I think ideally
life feels like that sometimes.
It does
feel like that. But this can be a little bit of an escape. A little bit. I think you're right, Lydia, in that, like, we don't want it to feel like a negative loop, because then people will, you know, if they do bad, then they really do bad, and then it'll just get worse and worse.
Yeah.
So there could be like a minimum threshold or something to make it so that people don't, the worst that they do, you know, doesn't ruin their
I think
game.
It's like, if you have stuff left over, your partner comes home and is able to do most of it.
Yeah.
But there is still stuff left over because there's only so many hours in the day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, you might have the laundry out, the dishes undone, the dishwasher open. But by the time, at the beginning of the next day, the dishes and the dishwasher are sorted, but the laundry's undone. Maybe.
Or maybe like one day is like, it resets after the day. You know, one day is the gameplay, the whole loop. For a level.
Right. So one day is like a snapshot of infancy. Right. One day is a snapshot of toddlerdom.
Yeah.
I could see that working.
Yeah. So one day is a snapshot of a life. And it's a series of vignettes across this kid's life.
Oh, this is perfect too, because eventually you'll retire and then the kid has to take care of you.
That's
so sweet. I love that. Okay.
Do you, before you retire, okay, so a quick question just because scope creep. Kid grows up.
Yep.
Are they going to have a kid and have to deal with that and then have to deal with their older parent at the same time, at different times? Like, because that would actually kind of make it a natural progression of difficulty, where it's like, start to have to deal with the parent, then they have a kid of their own, and it's a multi-generational family home.
Yeah.
So they have old people problems, baby problems at the same time. That increases the difficulty, maximum difficulty at the end of the game.
I mean, I kind of like the... I kind of like the idea of like a big time skip where it goes, you know, all the way of where their caretaking just reverses.
Yeah.
So you don't see the, because you could kind of keep doing the loop
forever
of like, oh, then they have a kid, then they have a kid, then they have a kid.
Yeah. I think that both are valid ways to take it. I just want to know which way are we taking it. I like the you taking care of the parent thing. And that's also like typically not talked about in games, really.
Yeah.
It's always like you take care of the baby or the kid or the animal.
Yeah. It gives that sandwich generation something to identify with and be seen.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And I think it gives you like really interesting parallels of what, you know, caretaking can look like.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's still caretaking, but it's a totally different set of gameplay challenges to take care of an adult.
What does something mean? What does broken mean? Or what, like when a parent or an older person breaks something, what does it mean? What does it feel like? What does it look like? Also depend and kind of how, because it's going to be different stuff that they're struggling with just by virtue of what they can access, but also what a parent would expect to be able to do, but then they find out they can't because they're aging.
Sure. I think that's the really neat parallel though, is like, if your kid breaks a dish, you clean it up, and then like when you're old and you can't like hold the dish right and you drop the cup or whatever, and then the child cleans it up, like there's a little bit of mirroring there.
Yeah
And I like, I don't know if we want, then you take that opportunity to make it a little more meta, and it's like the kids are breaking physical objects, and then when it's at the adult stage, you're more dealing with the person aging and the person themselves rather than the physical things getting broken. I don't know if we want to make it like,
you
want to
make it real depressing,
I don't know, maybe that's too depressing.
I but think,
like, this game suddenly like have a sting to it at the end.
I think the thing is before. I kind of want to keep it with objects because it's gonna be a slow burn sting compared to like if hip breaks, parent falls down, like that to me. I think it's that kind of big disaster that you think of when you worry about an aging family member, but until you actually see them try to live their life and realize that there's a lot, like they are very aware of, or maybe not, of their decreasing ability, you don't realize how much your own ability lets you do.
Yeah.
And I think that accumulating over time is going to be as heart-wrenching as what you're talking about. And I kind of like having that, that slow burn effect.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense. We were talking about having the kid having a kid. Is that the thing we still want to do?
I think,
I don't know if we move past that.
I guess, do we want to focus on just parents to kid and then kid takes care of parent, or do we want to add a kid into the mix on as well as the parent, like a multi-generational household for the last levels?
If this is the last level, theoretically it's the most difficult, so having to take care of two things makes sense, could add some
nuance to it too, because like I don't know how many grandparents think they're taking care of the kid when they're not. And then, like, you're taking care of your child and your grandparent when they're helping you.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be an interesting...
Different. Also different requirements for baby proofing, because it's like, you know, with the prescription. I mean, this is not going to be necessarily as relevant, but prescription caps have the child safe lock, but then they also have the easy open arthritis safe top. Mm-hmm. Those are directly in conflict with each other. So many of the things that you need for baby gating are just not usable.
Yep.
That's interesting. So, I mean, it might help to, like, think of examples of what...
Yeah, we need hazards.
Yes. Examples of what a kid would mess up and examples of what an older person might mess up. So, like, for instance, you're talking about the pills. Like, maybe they're having a hard time opening the pills and the bottle of pills spills on the
ground. Or, like, spilling a glass of something. Yeah. Like, glass of liquid.
Yeah.
Knocking a pot off the stove because the handle is sticking out. You got to rotate the handle inward.
Sure.
What are other things that a kid could accidentally break?
Okay, so Gabe said that, like, when you're a teenager kid, you get mad at a game on your phone and you punch a hole in the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And then you buy a poster because you have money to hide it.
That's right. Oh, and the posters are not...
Hide the hole.
Yeah. Alternatively, you get a frame. And you put it around the hole, and you make a curator's card.
Yeah,
and make it an art exhibit.
It's an art exhibit,
but that requires more money than a poster. Unfortunately, that's if you have a good allowance.
Yeah, or a part time job.
Yeah, punching a hole in the drywall is a good one, though.
That one's fun.
I know from our experience, when you're at that toddler stage, you know, anything with a cord, they're just going to pull down.
Oh, your dad's laptop.
Laptops a lot. Yeah. A lot of laptop damage.
I definitely built towers that were too tall, too close to things like lamps, or mm-hmm. I tossed a ball when I shouldn't have indoors and I jostled a lamp. I don't know if I ever broke a lamp, but I definitely got close.
Lamps are easy targets for destruction.
Crayons on the walls also. Yep. Yeah, that was a lot. That was a frequent flyer.
And then there's just, you know, every toy that a kid has can be broken.
Legos. Stepping on Legos.
Yeah, you can also break something maybe if there's stuff that you trip over. Like if you have too many laundry baskets, you trip on them and you fall and you break something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm definitely imagining this sort of being like a, well, I guess y'all talked about it being an Untitled Goose Game perspective, but I was also thinking of it in terms of a top-down perspective could also work.
I feel like top-down, though, you wouldn't get the height of the kid, so you wouldn't get the information of how much they could reach versus where they could hide.
Very good point.
We lose that.
Very good point.
I guess, are we thinking, like, but if we, like, as eagle view isometric as we can get without losing that information, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But you're right, the height is important.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing like a fixed orthographic camera angle mm-hmm. that will slide around as you move from one room to the other to the other.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In terms of older adults, if you like slip in the bathroom and you break something because you're trying to catch your fall.
Pull down the shower curtain.
Break the toilet if you land on the toilet wrong. Oh, a bookcase falls down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it's not secured properly.
Yeah.
I like how it's kind of turning, it's got a little bit of an element of home safety.
Yes.
Right? Like,
ooh, maybe we could sell it as an educational game to 100%. Like some kind of like parenting org.
100%.
Right. That's always the fire prevention thing, is make sure to turn your pots so the pot handle isn't over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm?
A parent sim?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
pretty
great.
Sure they don't have one of those yet.
No? Well, we gonna teach them.
Yeah. And I think we should talk a little about, like, if the game's about repair, like, what does the gameplay actually look like for repairing things? Like, is that like a...
Are they like little mini games? I guess I was kind of thinking of like Among Us, where you just like do random mini games based on what you need to clean.
The version I first thought was in Dave the Diver during the... restaurant parts where it's like each task is either a little mini game or you just mash a certain set of buttons. So we could do a little of that mix up where some things are more of an Among Us, more in depth kind of like if they break a vase, we have to glue and put the pieces together. But another thing could just be you know, mop up the wet spot on the floor before someone trips, and that's just button mashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
This would be fun with a co-op mode, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Right. Like, you have a dad and a mom.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
As two player.
Yeah. Or maybe you could also have, like, the grandparent and the parent, and the grandparent can only do certain things, and the parent can do other things. But they have to, like, watch each other's back to make sure that they're okay. That yeah. they keep oh, yeah. hazards away from each other. Because, like, the parent can move faster, but that means that they're more likely to trip or step on the Legos.
Sure, yeah. I like that. Definitely.
Yeah. More if, and this is like, if we make it and then we get DLC mm-hmm. for it.
Well, yes, the scope creep, you have to have like a narrative component, because if I don't bring that up as a narrative person. So if we call it like repair, you also have to like repair the relationship
repair
with your
it.
Aging. Oh, with your aging parent, reparent. I love it.
I think that, that's yeah. Name. Now, part of what I was thinking is like, the reflection part is you also, there's the weird moment where you realize like, oh, that's how I learn to react to things, mm-hmm. or that's how I've consciously taught how to react to things. And then seeing it the other way around, there's that kind of reflection when you see the same instances happen, but they end either the same or different. Does that make any sense?
I don't fully understand.
So that. It's like if a parent, if as a kid you spilled something and your parent freaked out, you yeah. realizing as an adult, like,
oh, what
because
you did to
that's
them?
Your impulse is either to freak out, or you've consciously learned, taught yourself not to do that because you didn't want to pass it on to your kid.
Right.
And then seeing it work, flip it around where it's like your parent breaks something and then seeing their reaction
Got
as
it.
An older adult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the experience you'll get from a game like this. I think it's kind of, well, I'm starting to think, okay, in terms of, like, scope, because now I am kind of thinking, if we're going to make this game, it feels like there should just basically be, like, two or three levels. One to, like, tutorialize it, one to, like, sell the point, and then the third point is to get to the older person, take care of them, your own parents thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just for scope purposes, then the loop is relatively small. I don't know
we
that
do
it would
miss
sell
out
the
on,
game.
Like, a. Three levels, I think, is not enough for the for it to be
the whole progression.
The progression,
yeah.
the story progression.
Yeah,
because I really want to have the chance for the teenager, because yeah. that's going to be some really interesting mini games, but also because that you have to have the teenager before you hand off to being an adult.
Yeah, that's true. Also, like, you know, we're not making this game in an hour, so
no.
we don't have to think about
yep.
Well, yeah, the minimum viable would be, what, three levels?
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I think ideally you're right. It would have more levels.
I mean, you'll have a vertical slice better. With one level, right?
Mm-hmm, then, yeah, that's
so
true.
So you'll know what, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I wanted to ask about the job again.
Oh, yeah.
Are you
oh,
still
yeah.
working from home and having to deal with this? Because I'm imagining this chaos is happening behind the scenes. I would think as a player... If
yeah.
you're having to deal with you know, your kid running around and breaking stuff all the time, you'd follow your kid all the time if you didn't have any reason not to do that. And my thinking is having the job is encouraging you to not be always following the kid. And chaos can happen in the different rooms and stuff while you're
right.
not there.
Yeah. So, and by taking a step back to answer that question,
sure.
I guess, do you see it as a... have those aspects of a time management game the way that Overcooked or Kokeshi or whatever would have that time management. So the job role is there to play as a, you know, you've got two objectives, the job and the repairing of
yeah.
the household.
Yeah.
And those are in conflict and it's your time management. That's definitely one like overarching view for the game.
Uh-huh.
I honestly... okay, so I'm thinking back to like Untitled Goose Game.
Sure.
Like it doesn't really have a time component at all.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a little bit more of a puzzle aspect in that because
it's
becomes,
how do you make specific kinds of chaos?
Like, yeah, there's a specific interaction that you want to have given right. the items you have available. How do you make that happen?
Yeah.
So I feel like this game is tending a little more towards the like Overcooked, Frantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aspect.
Right, and that's kind of why I was thinking yeah. of it in terms of
right,
that way.
Yeah.
I guess if we have that kind of a franticness, would that mean we are less invested and likely to go look for hidden items because they're not worth it to try to find when more chaos is actively happening we need to avoid? Because I really do like that
sure.
aspect of it.
There could be different chores you could do around the house instead of it just being like work from home.
I mean, let's be real. You don't have to have a job for it to be a 24-hour a day
absolutely,
job.
Absolutely. That's something true.
I was actually kind of thinking is maybe it's not like this is them working from home or doing whatever is not the normal. Maybe it is the daycare couldn't take them. And so this is the odd day you have to stay home. Because one of the things I was thinking is, in order for us to have the chaos persist as snapshots so and have it be so chaotic, is the parents should not have time to develop systems for this.
Right.
Sure.
So, like, this should be abnormal. Yeah. And that justifies and also encourages an increased amount of chaos for both of them. Because, like, kid's not used to being home all day with the parent and is excited, maybe. Or just is bored out of their brains. Mm-hmm. And parent is like, oh, how do I do this? This is not my normal routine. I don't know how to juggle these two parts of my life together.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
That makes sense. It could be like snow day. I know that that's one of the things other parents complain about a lot.
You have the thought where it's like, oh, I can get so much done. Like, I could do laundry in between meetings. And then you're like, no.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that it's a series of snapshots of, you know, like slice of life snapshots of these are unusual days in your life. Because that's like kind of when life happens.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. And we can have different reasons for each one. Because like daycare, not like there's illness at daycare could be for like the infant.
Yep.
But then snow days totally could be for the teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have different things. Each one could be a different reason. So some of the joy of discovering the next slice is, what are we in for?
And if the game is, to kind of go back to what you said earlier, Lydia, about like, oh, the game is frantic, but we still want to have, you know, a story at times. Like, you'd pause the game, you'd give them the story elements, then they go into the frantic part. And then they might, you know, when you discover something, you can pause and have some story, some flashback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put something on the screen so the game isn't, so the game has some variety of pacing in it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
There could be little bits of time where, like, there's a piece. So, like, I don't know, nap time, I guess, or something.
Yeah. sure. Steven,
okay.
friend.
I don't know.
Other people had kids.
People had naps, yeah.
Yeah.
I have an idea for that nap.
Ooh, oh, tell us.
Go ahead.
When you're napping, you have to do that sheep jumping over the fence thing 25 times or 24 times.
Oh,
yeah.
Help you sleep.
After you get it 24 times successfully, you wake up.
Oh, I like that.
And then you have to bother with the kid again.
Yeah, but like a power nap that's so deep that you just can't wake yourself until you recharge fully. You have to kind of get through it. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Good idea, buddy.
Yeah. Very cool.
Or you have to just spam click like 100 sheep.
The fastest counting of sheep. Honestly, some days it's like that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just want to get a power nap.
Yeah. In order for us to have those moments and give the player explicit permission to take their time, we should make sure that we have a clock type thing. Maybe not literal hours, but like the Minecraft clock where it's day and night. That's kind of prominent. It moves on the slower side, like frantic, but not too frantic. And whenever you have those moments or you are able to like do the little mini games or you're like found something and you're looking at it, like you found the lost item and you're kind of interpreting it, explicitly calling out that it has stopped moving for the time.
Yeah,
sure.
Just we don't have to figure out exactly what that looks like. I'm not a UI designer, but that is something that will be an important UI aspect if we're going to hit that balance between, you know, savoring the moment before it leaves and busy.
Right.
If this is a multi-generational family home, the items that you find could be like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Like things you drew. Or,
like, what did your parent keep?
Or a message you made that you hid or something like that. That could be it too.
Wait a second. Could we have like you have to clean the crayon off the walls and then if you tape paper onto that same wall, your kid then draws on the paper on the wall as like and so then you can clean the paper off. But then you also, if you do that, then you have art from when your kid was a kid or when you were a kid and your parents kept it.
That's good. That's fun. Yeah, I like that idea too. Actually, that you can be kind of preventative with the messes.
Oh, yeah.
Like if your kid likes to draw on the walls, you could put some paper around somewhere so that the kid uses that instead of drawing on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you they wouldn't draw on the paper though, and you can't keep everything. But
no, you can't keep everything. That is true.
Or maybe, in a game, or maybe that would work.
Maybe there's a pile of papers that fell out, like they knocked over in the office, and then they ended up drawing on the paper that they found, like on the floor.
Yeah.
So if you don't get to it in time, it's art now.
Yeah, it feels like a really poignant moment.
Mm-hmm. Weird things put into shoes.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just as an aside, weird things put in the
shoes.
That's a thing.
No, that's a kid thing.
Oh.
That is a kid thing. I do it with, like, whenever I get coins or something, I stuff them in my shoes.
Yeah, because like, the safest place to put them if you don't have a spot.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make sure you shake out your shoes.
Yeah.
Do we want to think about some, like, older adult or teenager levels? Because I think there's a lot of the home safety stuff we can think of that are, because those are explicitly, hey, you should baby-proof or kid-proof your house sort of things.
That's a good question. Other than punch holes in the walls, because you only do that so many times before your hand hurts.
Yeah.
What else can you do? What else can you do as a teenager? That's messy.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not going to get too dark, right? Ooh, leaving the fridge open.
Shave and then don't clean the sink off.
Yeah.
That's not just teenagers.
No. Yeah. That can be both the teenager and the adult. It could be everybody.
Everybody.
Oh, maybe you have to snake a drain.
Ugh.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's dark.
Yeah.
Very gross.
Yeah, but it's gotta happen.
Yeah, that's a
dirty
good
clothes.
Slime.
Yeah.
Dirty
clothes.
Dirty clothes for dirty the teenager, clothes. Yeah.
I threw, you know, those
just like plates everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's under beds.
You know those like window clings, the little goo shapes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I managed to throw one onto my bedroom ceiling and there still is like it
a
very slowly
trail.
It melted down and you still see some like a stalactite, the remnants of a stalactite on my bedroom ceiling at home.
Yeah, the grease or oil in those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Just permanent.
They're like last forever.
Mm-hmm. I could see a teenager doing that.
Oh
honestly.
Yeah. Like like one of those sticky balls and they just throw it a little too hard and it stays.
Yep.
Oh, darts. Dartboard.
Oh, dartboard.
I can almost reach my ceiling jumping off of my bed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for the older parents, it's like find the keys in the fridge. Like,
oh,
that's
a classic. Yeah.
For the older parent, you could have like install the handrail in the bathroom to prevent the fall and break the toilet.
Yeah, that's good.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Kind of in that vein for both parents with like the safety rail for the toilet, also making sure that you get the little kid toilet seat on the toilet so your kid doesn't fall in.
Oh yeah.
I'm really liking the preventative measures because then you're thinking about not just following the kid all over the place.
Well, it's also kind of nice because it I think it hits on one of those management things that can be sometimes hard to build into a game of the, well, I'm here, so I might as well.
Yeah.
Like having more of those tasks, like downtime tasks, add more chaos, but also they feel really good when you are able to do them in one of those games.
And I think it kind of gives it that, like you had talked about, Andy, the goose game had, like, you want to organize your chaos in a specific way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of giving you that, like, these are options to mitigate damage that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, like, did you put the toilet seat so that the child could use the restroom, or did you have to clean up pee off the toilet seat?
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's also because, like, if you have chores that you've been meaning to do, it's clutter.
Yep.
Because it's just there and it's not doing anything yet because you haven't done it yet. And so adding that gives us more license to add clutter into the house that could then, even if it doesn't literally make chaos, it makes it feel more chaotic. I love all three of your shirts that you're matching, but also kind of not matching, because Beth's got like a nice heathered blue, and you've got a nice heathered gray, mm-hmm. and you've got a nice other color.
Thank you.
We were supposed to pretend that Annie didn't have the nice Gamescom t-shirt.
I did so well until I remembered I don't know what colors the t-shirts come in.
Mine's blue too, also.
Yes.
So
mine matches Beth's shirt.
I failed you.
It is fine. All right. So the t-shirts, Beth, in the past, you have sold the t-shirts very well.
Oh, did you sell some after my endorsement?
I assume so, yes. I don't pay attention to the numbers. But Andy, now it is your turn.
I would love to sell a t-shirt to all of you.
So what do you like about the t-shirt?
Yeah, I don't have a t-shirt.
It is so soft, and I just love wearing a t-shirt that says that I make nice games.
Aww. That's so sweet. Okay, so if you wanted to have a t-shirt that says I make nice games on it, has our logo on it, it's really soft and comfortable, you can go to nicegames.club/merch. get a t-shirt. You can also get a pillow. It has the logo on it as well. But it's a nice, like, fancy cartridge logo, which is really cool. Comes in many, I think it comes in a few different colors. Also, you can get Glom. If you haven't played Glom yet, it is a fun card game you can play with your friends. It takes 3 minutes. It's very exciting. So go to nicegames.club/merch.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I wish we could paper prototype.
How about we role play it?
Oh,
yeah. So fun. Like,
okay, I get to be the kid.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to be the adult, Gabe, and figure out how to mitigate the chaos of Steven?
Maybe.
Okay. So I can GM this. Maybe. Okay. Unless one of you wants to.
Go for it. Go for it. I like it.
What age do you want to be, Steven?
8.
Eight? Okay.
It's the age of the podcast, so I think that makes sense.
Okay, so, Steven, you're 8 years old.
Okay.
Gabe, you are the parent of said 8 years old person.
Okay.
Let's say it is the third snow day in a row. You've run out of things to do. So.
Oh, I'm so bored.
You're so bored.
So bored.
You're also kind of sick of it. And so, but you still have to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing, Steven, that you're going to do once you're out and you've been fed and your parent has to start working?
Good question. It's difficult because I am 4 times the age.
Go back to do you remember what Pixar film you watched when you turned 8?
Oh, good question. What did I watch when I turned 8? I mean, that was not Toy Story, but I would probably watch a movie again.
Yeah.
But then I would get bored eventually and go trying to find a snack or something, I would think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah. The movie
snack hunting.
The movie is on in the living room, but Steven is not in the living room. What do you do? Your child is not where you thought they were 2 seconds ago.
Scream.
You scream?
No, that's what I'm doing.
No, we don't know where you are.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Yell his name to get him back in here.
Okay, so parent hollers. Does that work on you? Do you then locomote to the parent?
Okay. It doesn't work on me either.
Okay, so you try to yell. You don't get a response. Steven is now somewhere in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. The fridge, I think, and fridge cabinets. What are you getting as a snack?
Maybe I'm making a sandwich? Probably not making the sandwich.
I like too sandwiches.
Much work. Ooh.
I wouldn't make one, though, because it'd be too much work for me as a kid. I would probably grab a granola bar or something. Okay. So I would try to go into the cabinets. Actually.
How about you start to take out the stuff for a sandwich? Yeah. Give up because it's too much work. So now
you're trying my own sandwiches, and I'm.
Yeah, but I feel like you're gonna go for a candy or a snack before you go for the sandwich, right, Gabe?
Maybe, yeah.
Dad needs to goad you into a sandwich.
Yeah, I remember there was a candy in the cabinet, so I went up there. And
or like you remembered after you started pulling the sandwich stuff out.
After I started.
So maybe you find Steven now in the kitchen. The sandwich stuff is out on the counter, and the fridge is open, and he is climbing up the cabinets to get the good granola bars.
Mm-hmm.
What sandwich stuff?
Oh, what sandwich would you have made?
I mean, it would have bread, so I would have taken the bread out at least.
Okay, but that could be anything. That's not a sandwich yet. What else?
That's fair.
Perishables.
Yeah. It would be lunch meat and then tomatoes maybe.
Lunch meat, produce. So we've got meat on the counter, not fridge. That's not good.
Yeah.
And also, he's actively climbing the cabinetry.
Yes. I'll be fine.
I'm going to say you can have one bar and thanks for getting me the stuff to make a sandwich.
Ooh.
Make a sandwich and eat it.
Oh, clever. Okay, maybe it gives you a little bit of energy.
Encouragement
so
for the kid.
You've given him a granola, taken him down from the cabinetry. Mm-hmm. What, you're satisfied now? Are you going to go back to the living room for a little
bit?
Yeah,
I'll probably go back.
Okay, you now have time to make your sandwich. Maybe you feel a little bit more energized after that. You need to feed yourself. That's good. And do you put the sandwich stuff away when you're done? Okay.
Of course.
So kitchen is now back in order. Probably by the time you finish that, Steven, you're getting into trouble again.
Yeah, I would be bored. And, well, I guess at the, when I was a kid, they had PDAs. They didn't have smartphones. So I would go get a personal digital assistant and run around with that.
Oh,
do
you grab it from,
run
like,
around with what?
A PDA?
It's like a smart... It's
for old people.
Yeah.
It's like a
what? Before cell
phones. It's before cell phones.
Okay.
So I would run around with that, and I would... lose the stylus.
Oh, okay. Probably like took it out of your parents' bag, lost the stylus. It's kind of like a think like
I know.
Like a DS. Okay.
It's like a pencil.
Yeah. So you're running around, your kid has now got your technology and has lost some of it. What
and
do you
so do? What I would do as a kid is I would try to find the stylus, right? And so I would shuffle around a bunch of things all over the ground.
Oh, yeah. Making it harder to find the stylus. Okay.
And then you would mix up even more stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you find Steven doing this. What is your first response? What are you going to do about this?
Pause the movie?
Honestly... I respect that.
You've probably seen it like four times by now, so I don't know that you'd pause
four?
It.
I would pause it. I would pause it and turn it off.
Okay.
All right. That's fair.
Makes it a little quieter, easier to think.
And I don't need a big electrical bill.
That's true. That is actually also true. Okay. So it's a little quieter in the house. You're not racking up money on top of the heating because snow day.
Right.
Now your kid is still really worried about finding the stylus that he lost. So he's messing up all of the things. What room are you in? What are you messing up?
I guess the living room.
Okay,
where
so
the
like
TV is.
Maybe cushions are going everywhere.
Yeah,
toys are kind of moving everywhere.
Or, yep. Yeah.
Maybe you've got blankets on the floor from when you were watching it, and they're trying to check the blankets.
Yeah.
So
I guess I'll try to redo that.
Okay.
Put
so
it back how it's supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're putting back the couch. You're still moving through.
Yes.
Do we actually have a? Do we want to have an option where the kid actually finds what they lost?
I mean,
after
probably.
A point?
I would probably either find what I lost or get bored. So either way.
I think that that's a good way to mitigate the like stress of the like timeliness or whatever we were talking about. Like you don't want to get too far behind.
Yeah.
If you give the kid like if you really can't fix the problem after a certain set time. The child resolves it or it resolves itself.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's making a giant mess, but like they're busy now. So like just let that happen sometimes. Sometimes that's
the
right
answer. Leave them go?
And also realistically.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably go to my work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also were in the kitchen when he lost the stylus. So you might not even have a better way of finding the stylus.
Right. That's true.
Okay. So you're going to go back to work. Let him mess up all the soft stuff in the living room. You get a chance to do your job. You're bored at some point, or you find the stylus and play on the PDA a little bit. Your movie is off, so the electrical bill's not racking up. This is going pretty well.
Yeah.
No one's died yet.
I don't think anyone's gonna die in the game, but
you know.
I mean, I guess you could just have him ragdoll, but
yeah. a dramatic fake death right on part of a kid. Oh no, I am slain, parent. Father, I am slain.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, what am I doing now? I guess I'm on the PDA for a little while, so my attention is distracted. But then there's no movie.
You only had a granola bar.
And I only had a granola bar. So I
and
mean,
you weren't even watching the movie.
I wasn't even watching the movie. But
yeah.
I wanted it on.
Complain.
Yeah, so I'm going to complain. Okay. Oh, I would go to the parent and be like, where's my movie?
Yeah, you're going to go complain to the parents.
Yeah.
You got now.
Dave, where's my movie?
So you got to get up from the laptop. And help out with the movie.
Yeah.
Turn it back on.
That's good.
No, I'm not going to get off of work. I'm going to say the TV remote is on the...
Oh.
Oh, you're going to let me do it? Oh, okay.
On the drawer,
oh,
right. or something.
Then I have full reign to mess with the
cool.
stuff on the TV. And then they end up watching Real Housewives.
Something terrible.
Yeah. End up watching what?
Real Housewives.
What's that?
Just some...
It's bad
TV where a bunch of people are really nasty to each other for no reason.
Yeah.
And then I hear that it's not the movie and I walk out.
Oh.
They're saying naughty things from the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
So then maybe you got to go change the channel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No watching that and no saying those stuff or yeah. you're grounded.
So I'm realizing while we're doing this role-playing thing that like a lot of the sim, a lot of the stuff, it does feel more like a sim kind of game than like a, you go around and do a little mini game sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I suppose like Untitled Goose Game was a little bit of that. Like you had to do some puzzle solving. Yeah. So like you will be presented with challenges and you need to figure out how to solve those challenges, and how you solve those challenges can have consequences down the line. So for instance, Gabe gave me the remote and I changed the channel and ended up watching Real Housewives, and then Gabe has to deal with this new problem.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have happened if Gabe just went and turned on Wally or whatever it was.
But then also like he did give you a granola bar.
Yes.
And so then I think that would have potentially like lengthened, you know, the time that you spent on the PDA. I also did really like that disengaging was sometimes the right decision.
Right.
Because I think that is kind of true.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's really kind of modeling that relationship and modeling the individuals.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you want that, you know, they've got their food bar, they've got their how bored they are bar,
yeah.
and you're doing actions to kind of keep them busy.
Sure.
But then, yeah. I know from my parenting experience, like it's like, oh, the kid's into something. The first thing I need to do is go find a toy and bring it to them. Hand them the toy, get them distracted, and then I can clean up the mess.
Oh,
like a misdirection.
Yeah,
but, or, yeah.
Yeah, redirect their energy, and then when they're redirected, you can handle it.
I also really like the kind of opportunistic, hey, the sandwich stuff's already out and I haven't eaten yet, I'm going to do that. But then also the, like, I can't do this right now.
Because
you
I'm
can
bored.
Do this yourself, kind of. Like, I think that was really neat. Also, because it's like it hits exactly the well, I'm here anyway, so I might as well thing that a lot of the chores could be, but mm-hmm. it's self-care.
Yeah.
And another thing I'm hearing from the role play is that mm-hmm. we're bumping into the, like, you're making parenting decisions, and I don't know if we want to say like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, always directing them towards an educational thing, or and how does that manifest itself in
sure.
the later stages of their life, or like, do I just yell at them to get them to stop something, even though like it should be a long conversation that's going to take me away from my work for half an hour?
Like, I was actually kind of wondering if part of the work behind this game is creating personae for, at the very least, the kid and the parent. Because something I was thinking of, because like I'm asking Steven what he would do, and he's pulling from him as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, is an electronic reasonably going to distract or engage the kid, or are they just going to use it as background noise for some other activity? I think, like, very dependent on the person.
Yeah.
Kid or otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Grandparents like to have news on all the time or music on all mm-hmm. the time,
yeah.
and that is going to make it harder for them to hear you. As a side note, just like the film when you're a kid, it's always going to be on,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. But like, are we going to make one kid and like really craft who this little kid is and who then
sure.
the player becomes? Because do we have to do that for both parents too? Because they are both NPC and PC.
So yeah, that I think that's a thing that I'm sort of bristling up against. I think is like assigning value to certain methods of parenting.
I guess I don't
think that's what you're necessarily
no,
saying.
No, I think that we could trend that way, and that's what you were bringing up.
Uh-huh.
But
I could see that happening.
The half step towards that conversation is, are we going to consciously design characters that will want to do things a certain way, because that then sets up the situation of, do I correct/redirect this, or do I let it happen? You know, the, like, does the kid always want to eat granola bars? Am I going to force them to eat a sandwich at some point? Do they always want to be on electronics? Mm-hmm. Am I going to force them to read a book at some point?
Sure.
I think that if you want it to have that, like, realistic part of it, we could keep track of how you mitigate different things and have that, when the roles are reversed, change your amount of like energy or stress or whatever.
So like what ends up being self-care for you?
Yeah, like, so the example that you set as a parent sets up your child, and it's not necessarily a judgment call, because like definitely there are going to be pros and cons, right? How many times do you let it go? Sometimes you should just let it go, even if it like sets them up for later being a little lazier or whatever kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like it would be a balance, but like that would be reflected in your stats
mm-hmm.
when you become the caretaker of the adult that was caretaking you.
I like that, because then what will soothe you is what we it's not us that decides what the soothing things or what the things that give you more energy are. That's predetermined mechanically. So if you choose to play to parent a different way, you then also have to take care of yourself a different way in the latter levels.
I see.
As well.
Yeah.
So okay. Is quiet time how you recharge, or is it a snack that is it food that always gets you to be a little bit more calm, or is it some time on your phone as a adult, because that's just kind of how you ended up learning to redirect your own energy. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I like that. And one thing that I have liked in video games is when they start out with that questionnaire, they can even start with hey, what are the things that recharges you?
Mm.
What are the, through
a baseline.
Yeah.
In that intro of the game, it asks you a handful of questions, and that's a way to kind of customize the experience and make it true to you. Rather than being no matter what, a game has a lot of assumptions of the game designer in it.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways that's a beautiful thing. It can be hard when the players don't expect that assumption.
Yeah.
Or
right.
And then it's oh, this game just doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Or is this a bug or something?
Very much the problem with a lot of older point and click mystery games where it's that shouldn't mix. Those two things shouldn't go together. Why would I think to use this in this moment?
Newer games have that issue too. Blueprints. anyways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta change the sign. It's been this number of days since you badmouth Blueprints.
Yeah. Sorry. I couldn't help it.
I haven't even played it yet. Jeez. I still haven't gone back to Dave the Diver yet.
It's genuinely good.
I know. Okay. I'm teasing you.
Okay. I'm pretty sure MPR said it was good.
Yeah.
Anyway. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking it would be fun if we already have a little introduction, hey, kind of set the tone for your home.
Yeah.
Then also have the chance to say what kind of parent, how do you present as a parent, or with names, pronouns, do you have here's your kid, query.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want the option of having a multi-level home versus a one-level home?
Oh.
As part of that questionnaire.
Skull creep.
Exactly.
Well, that's fine. Because, I said, we're not making this game.
But,
right now.
That's also level. That is scope creep that has level design consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because, if the kid's going up the stairs.
Oh, well, just
it's also you can't hear as much.
Yeah. When you're
you can get away with so much stuff if there's two levels.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, the kid can take mats, the benches for window seats and slide down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just used pillows.
A friend of mine had window seat bench, the long mattressy thingies.
Oh,
so then we
nice.
Used the pillows as the crash pad that we run into, but
safety.
We use those as the toboggan.
I mean, I know there are home layouts where they purposefully put the master bedroom in a separate section of the house from the kids' bedrooms. And then the kids, I know when, it was never an option for me to sneak out because the bedrooms were all right next to each other. But the idea of a kid sneaking out a window as a teenager.
Oh, yeah, that's right. If their bedroom's on the first floor, that becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, we need to consult the scientific literature on consequences of home layout on child outcomes.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah.
But that also makes it a lot harder, or it changes the landscape for the older parent because they can't go onto the second floor, or if they do, it is going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because, joints.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like we should stick to, feelings.
Feelings.
preferences rather than, layout of the house. That should just be kind of standard.
Yeah. Layout's
just
a big one.
So much.
It is a lot.
So much. Cool, that, cool. Doubles the game, right?
Yeah. What type of questions do you think we would scope in the feelings query?
Oh, I think that, how does a messy home make you feel?
Because
some people don't care and some people really care. So maybe the sliding scales, what stresses you out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dealing with your child, how do you respond? How does your child respond to criticism? Or how do you, I guess you wouldn't ask anything of the child. Maybe you'd only ask what you are like as a parent.
Yeah.
How do you respond to criticism? How do you respond to conflict in a household. Yeah. How, you know, what does conflict look like for you? What
are
does
you
a safe
a spanking
space
family?
Look like
oh,
for
God.
You?
Oh.
Right. I mean, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. I do like the centering it on yourself, not just because we don't want to ask the child, but also because quite literally you are going to become the child at some point.
Sure.
So I think that is a very like good approach to that kind of question, and becomes a little bit of a sneak preview. When you replay it, you're like, oh, wait a second, I understand now why they ask this to some extent.
I mean, there's definitely, having gone through ECFE, the Early Childhood Family Learning Program in Minnesota, like there's all of these things are really conscious decisions that they go through in the program, and some people approach parenthood without having consciously thought of any of those decisions, and you will find people to this day who are like, yeah, I'm going to spank my kid every time they do something bad.
Mm. Yeah. I'm
just going to hit them till they stop doing the bad thing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with punishing a child.
I don't feel like the game needs to model that there's a spectrum.
I think that then we need to make sure we ask questions and enough questions that we can get data to change the space. But I also don't want it to be so much that then they don't have the moment of discovering how discovering how they parent in the moment.
Yeah.
When it's demanded of them. Because I think maybe a good thing for them to overthink at the beginning and then have their expectations damned. But I also think that I don't want to give them too much time to pre-prep because that's going to limit the chaos or, you know, get them kind of primed to think about that and maybe not discover naturally as much what we would want them to, kind of like what we just did here. You didn't think about how ahead of time how you would, you didn't come up with a plan with a choreography, you know?
Right. Yeah. I just did a thing.
I think that might be something where we just kind of have to feel it out, because it's kind of like with feedback forms where you start off like, what do I ask? Then you have too many things and then you cut it down.
Some of the questionnaire questions can affect how the what kinds of problems you have to deal with your kid.
Because that's like, kind of what I was thinking. Like, if we could measure stressors, then we could pick those things.
Yeah, you can opt out of certain types of things that, like, because, like, this is a video game. In real life, you'd have to deal with, you know, puke. But in the video game, you don't necessarily have to do that.
It's stacking the deck with cards that you recognize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're hazards or, you know, things that stress you out or things that comfort you. So that way you're more equipped to then know on site what it is and what to do with it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it really needs to be, because also like if you're really not into technology or stuff, you are not necessarily going to like a house that has an Xbox and a TV and this or that is not going to feel like home, and it's not going to be something that you know how to engage with.
I think
that's where we should do the scope creep, would be like making it more engaging for different types of people rather than like the multi-level or whatever, like consider the answers to like what stresses you, what comforts you, and then that sets the scene.
Yeah, different stuff, more stuff, less room for stuff.
Yeah, like is your house cluttered naturally, or you got one of those like really no knick-knack kind of
yeah.
Are you the kind of family that has like an exercise bike, or do you have an Xbox? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or both. I don't know.
Played on there was a treadmill in the basement of a friend of mine's house in elementary school. We definitely played on that.
Yeah.
Can be fun.
It can be. We also kind of realized it was maybe not a great idea. We did anyway.
There's a lot here, I think. I think this game could really like send a potentially powerful message too. I really love that transition between parent to caretaker.
Yeah.
Or kid to caretaker. In the future, when we definitely have time to make all of these game jam games, we can figure out how to actually do this in a way that like sells it.
Actually, wait a second. I did think of another thing that is like emergent. So when you, Gabe, said your first thing is you were going to yell out the name of your kid.
Mm-hmm.
When you become the older parent that your kid, that Steven's taking care of, if you ever do something wrong or you need help, you're going to first thing to do is you're going to yell for your kid. So maybe like... Yeah, because it's practice. Yep. It's also habit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you're used to. So that trains the AI a little bit more for the older parent as well.
Right, yeah. I see the questionnaire as kind of like making a starting point, and then your actions are shifting that or refining that.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
But that's specifically like that one little detail in terms of characterizing the parent from your actions as the parent, like it, of just like yelling out.
Yeah. Yep.
Even if it's not aggressive, even if it's just yelling out frustration, is going to be so like iconically, oh, that was me.
Yeah.
That was me
yeah.
in that moment.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I dropped the plate.
I have those. I mean, I'm not a parent, but I have those moments very frequently that my dad did a thing and now I'm doing the same thing my dad did. And
yeah.
it's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Like ways that you phrase things, manners of speech,
mm-hmm.
Ones I don't necessarily like.
Yeah.
And then realize, I have to change this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think just one of the things that was made me think of it is in. A talk back from Dimension 20 Burrows End,
yeah.
where they had intergenerational family.
Yeah.
During the talk back, they said that in the process of coming up with the characters, they realized that the reason why your family pushes your buttons is they're the ones who created them.
Yeah,
and I think like that's very yeah. much like the core of what that the survey and then the actions into
sure.
AI, like the NPC intelligence goes mm-hmm. into.
Yeah. Oh, so many different directions. I didn't think this through before, but because I was role-playing as the kid, now I had to take care of Gabe
yeah.
at the end of the game.
But it's yeah. nice, though, because Gabe also did the yes and when you made a sandwich, but you didn't make a sandwich. He's like, you can have your granola bar. I'm going to make myself a sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then I'll clean up after you.
Maybe yeah, maybe nice. You...
Yeah, because you got something out for me.
Maybe you're going to like start making a sandwich and then have to deal with something, and he's going to come into the kitchen, see that you started a sandwich, and make a sandwich for both of you, because he's able to do that, and he can't maybe can't clean it up, but he can make it.
Yeah, that's cute. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good moments. Dang. All right. Well, we got to make this game. So I'll work on the funding. And then,
all right. Perfect. Thanks, Steven. I'll see you in 10 years.
Games take too long to make.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
This was cool. I like this.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being our parent of Steven, Gabe.
Okay.
All right.
That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made and totally gave a name to, and the name is Reparent.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes, delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode or others, or whatever, with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.